Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome to my podcast. Welcome to my nightmare. So today I want to talk a little bit about the causes of our societal issues, the causes as well as what perpetuates them. Like, why do they keep going on? Why do we live in a society or the society with the particular problems that it has? Why? I think if we understand the why, then we can get to the solution, right? that podcast I did, Three Problems to Solve Any Solution. One, identify the problem. Two, identifies the solution. Three, implement the solution, right? So you can solve any problem with this. So, like, I think one of the problems that we have is, how do I phrase this? We're looking at the problems too much and they seem complicated. And I think we're hyper-focused on what we think the problems are, but they're kind of not actually the problems. Okay. So, how you guys know how I like to go deeper. So this podcast was spawned by a friend of mine. Some of you from back home will know him, Jimmy J. We grew up back in Massachusetts and hung out and had a blast doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we're messaging a little bit the other night, and what sparked the conversation was bullying, right? And what we're talking about was how adults bully all the time, and then we wonder why it perpetuates in school. It perpetuates down to our kids. And this is one of the many examples that I'm going to give today. I guess what I want to lay out first is the dynamic, what I'm talking about. See, we look at the problems, right? Bullying at school, corruption in our government, the struggle for money and power, the debt that our country's in, how our politicians lie, like all kinds of this stuff, right? And so what we look at is a very surface way of looking at it. We're going like, well, kids get bullied in school, which causes, some severe problems. I mean, I was bullied heavily in school, and that's why, like in a lot of podcasts, I've alluded to my past and talked about it where I fought a lot. Well, it wasn't because I liked fighting. I never liked fighting. It was because I got picked on, and I went around to every adult I could find that to try to help me because I didn't want to fight and was told that you shouldn't fight. And then I asked for help and nobody could solve the problem, right? The teachers couldn't do anything about it. The parents couldn't do anything about it. The principal couldn't do anything about it. So it was like it was left up to me to figure it out. And, I had heard you hit the biggest one first, or the leader or whatever. So, I just went out and I solved it on my own. And of course there's many drawbacks, as I've also talked about, living that kind of lifestyle. So, but what we look at is we look at bullying and we think it's a problem with our children, bullying, and it's not. That's just the surface level. Where does bullying come from? Where do people learn bullying? Why is bullying so accepted in our society? Why does it run rampant? Why isn't it getting less? You know, we have more knowledge. So if self-knowledge did it, well, we should be getting less. They've gotten much more strict in the schools, you know, no hands policy and all this stuff. So, you know, that all these anti-bullying campaigns and all this stuff. So it should be getting, we should have less bullying, right? We don't. And one of the reasons is because we're putting we're putting our attention to the problem. That's another podcast. But so we need to go deeper. And I think really the question we need to be asking is these things that I mentioned, these problems in society. Oh, I've got a little ayahuasca healing ceremony next door. I gotta close my window, keep the music out. So if we're looking at the problem, we're like, why are these problems acceptable in society? Because quite honestly, they are. That's why they perpetuate. That's why they continue going on. They continue going on because they're acceptable on some level. I'm not saying that we like them. I'm saying that they're accepted. It's accepted that your government lies to you. Just accepted. It's accepted that you're going to have liars running for president. It's accepted. Like, and that's changed dramatically over the last, I think, 50 years or so. I mean, we didn't, you know, I mean, even 100 years, whatever number you want to put on it. To me, it's obvious that it's getting more acceptable. Like, I would struggle to find, I hope I would struggle to find anybody that thinks that politicians don't lie. I mean, I think that's pretty common knowledge that as a general rule, they all lie, all of them. I mean, at least on the federal level going up. I think it's pretty much rampant at the state level. And I know that you see it on a local level too. But I mean, the higher you go up, the more rampant it is. Because if you're not going to play the game, they're not going to let you get up there. Like, if you know, like, how are you going to win a federal election if you're not like greasing people on the side to get you elected? You're not going to. So anybody on the federal level is greasing people and cutting deals and all, because that's how you win. That's how you get there. So like at this point, I mean, look at Biden and Trump. The fact that those two people are running for office, I've said this many times, is I think one of the most obvious signs of our societal decline, because those two are supposed to lead us. I mean, I think we all understand what a leader is, right? I mean, I think we've all heard lead by example, things like that. Good leaders might need things like good morals, integrity, courage, you know, honesty, just, you know, things that are like good qualities. I think it's except we all want our leaders to have good qualities as opposed to wanting our leaders to have bad qualities. And yet our leaders have bad qualities. They lie constantly. They don't follow through with what they're doing. That, you know, it's just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So why is it that way? Why is it that way? It's that way because it's accepted by society. Because we have the numbers. We could change whenever we want to change things. But we're not. We're just not. Why? Because we're not upset enough. That's why. Like, so therefore, if we're not upset enough, that means we are willing to accept it. Right? That, because that's what happens. Like, you're either willing to accept something or you're not willing to accept something. Right? So if you're not willing to accept it, you would stand up and say, I am not willing to accept this. And now I'm just talking in a macrocosm for a moment. in a macrocosm, people in the United States are not, and other developed countries are not willing to stand up. They all know what's going on. We know that they're funneling money upwards, that we know that they lie to us. And we're just like, well, you know, what can you do? That's politics, you know? So we accept it and it just continues. And of course it gets worse because that, like, why would they stop? They're winning, you know, they're just getting richer and more powerful. Like, and we think they're going, what are we going to do? Yell up, hey, don't do that. And they're going to go, yeah, okay, you're right. And stop? Of course not. They're going to continue until we stop them, until we band together and say this is completely absurd. No, we're not doing this. You know, what would that look like? I don't know. You know, hopefully we'll get to that actual action place within the next few years, but we'll see. You know, it's, you know, Panama did it. It's like, you know, Panama. I've talked about this. Panama. One of the best things, in my opinion, that happened to Panama is that they got screwed with the Panama Canal. Okay. I didn't know this, but their version is the Panamanian citizens were like, you just sold our location. That is a gigantic natural asset for our country, and you just sold it off. And that really pissed them off for generations. So now all of a sudden they come in and they sign a huge mining contract with Canada to mine and cause all kinds of havoc on their natural resources. And as a community, since they had been upset over the Panama Canal for so many years, stewing and talking about it and saying this is unacceptable and all this stuff and getting angry, and then and just going, I can't believe they did that to us. We're not going to allow it again. And then when it comes back and they do it again, they stood up and they all walked out of their jobs. The kids walked out of the schools and they protested for months until it got overturned. And they won. Why? Because the people stood up. That's why. Why? Because it was unacceptable. No, you went too far. And the government even went so far as to offer everybody in Panama a 75% increase on their retirement funds at present and in the future. So everybody was going to get 75% more money. And they said, no, you can't buy us. This is wrong to do to our country. You're destroying our country and we're not going to stand for it. So, and they won. So this is, we're going to start seeing this more and more often. But do you see how it was unacceptable for them? This is the place that we have to get to. We need to get to a place where this behavior is unacceptable. Okay. And for us to get there, what we have to understand is, you know, now I'm going to go back to be the change you wish to see in the world, right? It's one of the most famous quotes, I think. And it's, I love it because it is so deep that most people don't slow down enough. Or, well, even if you do slow down enough, it's, you can apply it. See, to me, the depth is determined by how many different ways you can apply it, because that means it's really deep and it can kind of branch off into many different directions. So be the change you wish to see in the world. What that means in what I'm talking about today is we have to exemplify the principles in our daily lives that we want our country to have, our world to have, our leaders to have. We have to exemplify them to the best of our ability, not perfectly, but to the best of our ability in our daily lives. And we have to show that to our children as well, because what we accept, they think is acceptable. So what we have to do is we have to implement it into our lives, the principles that we want in our society. We have to live them. See, we can't live one way and then say, I want my country to be another way. Like, it doesn't work like that. We've been trying it for quite a while. And as you can see, it doesn't work. You know, it's the same thing with children. Like, you can't, you know, do what I say, not what I do, doesn't work. So we actually have to be the change we wish to see. So if you would like there to be less bullying in schools, what we need to do as a society is stop bullying, because that's what we do as adults. That's where the kids learn it. The kids learn it from us. We are their examples. And people do it all the time. And what we do is we rationalize our behavior, pretend that we're not doing it when we are doing it, and then wonder why the kids are doing it. We do this with most things. You know, parent to child is a gigantic problem. It's not the only problem. It also, when we do it, it makes more acceptable for our friends and our family members to do it too. And it makes it more acceptable for our leaders to do it. That's why we are not upset, because we know you can't run from yourself. You can't run from the truth. Deep down on an unconscious level, way in little areas that you've never looked at, you know the truth. You know what you do. We all know. We can't run from it. Okay, so the stuff I'm going to give as examples right now, most likely your first instinct is going to be, I don't do that. I don't do that. Try to lower your defenses a little bit and try, because no growth happens there. That's another societal problem. We just don't listen. Somebody is like sitting there trying to tell us what's going on. And I don't do that. I don't do that. We just get defensive and block. And it's like, well, you know, okay, fine. Then don't complain that you're living in a dysfunctional world, because you're too scared to lower your defenses a little bit and look at yourself. It's okay. Like, it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you're doing some of this stuff. It just means that you have work to do, just like I do. Like I said, we don't have to be perfect at this. We have to start leaning in the direction of living through good principles. And we are not doing that now. We are rationalizing our behavior and pretending that we are not doing the things that we are doing. Okay, so I'm going to try to draw this line for you. So please try to lower your defenses a little bit. Open up your ears and try, like, instead of defending, try to see where I'm right. Okay? Because if I'm not, let's say I'm wrong, like, you're not one of the people that is doing this. No harm, no foul. If you try to see where I'm right and then you find out that I'm not, wonderful. One less thing you need to work on. But if you try to see where I'm right and then you see that you are doing some of this stuff, that's wonderful too. People are so scared to find out bad things about themselves. It's okay. That's where change starts. That's how I changed my whole life, by being honest and looking at myself and understanding I had stuff that I needed to change. Then I could change it. Until that, you know, this is what they mean in the recovery program. Like, acknowledging you have a problem is the first step. You have to awareness that you're doing something that is causing negative effects to your life and by proxy, societal life. That's a good thing. You don't have to defend yourself. I'm not judging you. Nobody's judging you. You're just sitting in your own head. So don't judge yourself. You're not bad if you catch yourself doing some of this stuff. It doesn't mean you're bad. If you catch yourself doing this stuff, what it means is that you're aware. That's a good thing. Then you can change. You can start doing things a little bit differently. You know, like, I mean, we don't have to defend ourselves. It's okay. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes. It's all right. So try to open up your mind, and I'll start giving some examples of some of this stuff. So, like, bullying, you know, what started this whole conversation, it's the way we do it as adults. Social media is just rampant with it. I mean, I don't know if all groups, I belong to a lot of groups, I'm going to expand my screen here a little bit. In the Dominican Republic, where I live, a lot of Facebook groups, and oh my God, they unleash on each other just constantly. It's like, sometimes if I want to get a kick, I'll just scroll through to a controversial topic or something and just start reading the comments. It's like vicious. So we do it rampantly on social media. As adults, whenever somebody doesn't agree with us or we see something we don't like, putting down celebrities, You know, so like most of the people that are in the public eye, we don't view them as human beings. We just view them as toys or something. I don't know what the hell. And I don't care how much money they make. I don't, it doesn't matter to me. Like, oh, well, they make hundreds of millions of dollars, so therefore I have the right to abuse them and treat them like a non-human. Huh? Well, yeah, that's the cost of having hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars is you're in the public eye, you make tons of money. So therefore you are, it's allowable for us to treat you like crap and to attack you viciously for anything that we don't like. We get to do that because you're rich. Huh? Like, when did that become a rationalization? They're just human beings. All right? They're just human beings. That's all. So when you treat, see, this is what I mean by rationalizations. We treat celebrities horribly, tell them that they don't have a right to open their mouth and speak their mind. And if they do and we disagree with it, then they're losers and jerks and they should just shut their mouth. Like, why? They're a human being. They have a right to speak. And if somebody shoves a microphone in their face, so, somebody shoves a microphone in your face, you have a right to speak too. Like, you know, this attacking people for just living their lives is absurd. What we do and the way we rationalize it and think it's okay. You know, attacking celebrities that are getting older and don't look the way they used to do, and we just trash them. Athletes, we trash athletes and attack their character for losing. Like, it's a sport. Sometimes they lose. And I see it the worst with people who played sports. Like, I played a lot of sports. If you played sports, you've experienced busting your ass out on a field or a court or the ice or wherever you are as much as you can and still losing. And it hurts and it's horrible and it's painful and it sucks. And sometimes the other team was just better that day. Sometimes your team didn't play well and you don't even really know why. You don't like you want to play well. You know how to play well, but for some reason, like your brain isn't communicating with your hands and your feet like they normally do or something. And it seems to be a collective thing that's going on your team and you have a bad game. Who knows? And it's the ex-athletes, I think, that attack the present athletes even worse. And they're the ones that experienced it. Like, we've all experienced it if you played sports. And then we attack them. So, like, this is, our kids are seeing this. When you're screaming at the television, putting down people for making mistakes, and then you wonder why, like, your kid is all stressed out at college because they got a B on a test, and you wonder where that came from. You know, it's the putting down of coworkers, bosses, friends. You know, when you're home at dinner and you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, my friend, you know, Susie was doing this and she's such an idiot and I hate her. And I don't even know why I hang out with her because she's such a jerk. And then the next day Susie comes over and you're all in front of your kids and you're all like, hey Susie, how are you? I mean, they even make commercials like this. You know, what was that commercial, I don't know what company it's for, but they throw a flag like in football where they're going to do a replay. So they throw the flag. And there's one of those commercials where this woman was like, oh yeah, you know, we couldn't get together or something. And the daughter was like, no, you said you didn't want to hang out with her. And she's like, no, I never said that. And then they throw the flag and the replay shows that she actually did say that. This is what I'm talking about. It's so rampant that they make commercials about it, making fun of it. This is how much it happens in society. They don't make commercials about things that people can't relate to. It's socially acceptable to tear apart your friends, your family, your coworkers, your boss, talk bad about them, character assassinate them, trash them in front of your family and your friends, and then think that, like, geez, I don't know where the bullying comes from. My kid bullied? I told them at least 6 times, don't you dare bully anybody. That didn't stick? No, because your behavior is bullying. It's character assassinating. It's trashing another human being. Oh, but I didn't do it to their face. It doesn't matter. That's worse. At least have the audacity, the guts, the courage to say something to somebody's face. Doing it behind their back doesn't make you a better person. So this is where this is why the behavior is acceptable in society, is because we do it. And like I said, I'm not perfect. So, you know, but at least I'm aware of it and I try to work on it. This is what I'm trying to get you guys to do. Draw a line from these behaviors that you do on almost a daily basis that are rationalized away like it's no big deal, because it is, because that is collective energy. See, this is the point of what I'm trying to get to, and I'm going to go into some more details, but the point I'm making is we do it on a smaller level. I understand that, like, character assassinating a coworker at dinner in front of your family over some roast beef is not as big of a deal as a world leader character assassinating another world leader that leads to war where hundreds of thousands of people die. I get that those are different. What I'm saying is it's the same energy. And the reason that it's acceptable is because most people down here in the macrocosm, in society, most people do these types of behavior on a regular basis, and they rationalize them away like it's no big deal. And then they wonder why it's acceptable on a grander scale. That's why. If we were not like this person, you know, if the majority of people did not think that lying was okay, we would not have leaders that lie. We wouldn't have it, because it would be unacceptable to us. And as soon as we caught some of them lying, we would be throwing them out. And the other ones coming up behind them would find out that if they get caught lying, they're out. So maybe they'll stop lying, right? This is how we change things, if you're trying to change things in that particular way. So, but it's acceptable. So now they lie and we go, oh, they lie. Well, yeah, they lie. Everybody lies, you know? And even we'll say, oh, they shouldn't lie. They shouldn't lie. And then we go lie, you know, like white lies, just regular, you know, little things like calling in sick for work in front of your kids. You know, hey, again, we're not perfect. Okay. Now, I think it's ridiculous that, like, let's say, I don't know, maybe you're stressed out of your mind, right? You're really stressed out. And you need to take a mental health day. I think it's ridiculous that we have companies that we work for that we have to, like, make up an excuse and say, hey, I'm sick. And we can't just say, hey, I need to take a day off. I think it's ridiculous that we live in a society like that. But we do. So whatever, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, just do your best. I mean, I'm not saying to get fired from your job because you listen to Glenn's podcast. I'm a realist. I'm a spiritual realist. Make the adjustments where you can make the adjustments. If we all tried making the adjustments, just the ones that don't disrupt our lives, just the ones that don't get us fired from our jobs, just those, we would change the world. Because that's how you change the world. You change it through grassroots. Okay, I've said this many times. Abraham Lincoln did not free the slaves. What freed the slaves was that there was enough people in the United States that thought it was wrong. There was more people that thought it was wrong or that thought it was right. Well, there's different dynamics. I don't know how it, you know, works. There's theories that it's 51%. That's the tipping point, right? 51% has more than 49%. So therefore, as soon as it hits that, then all of a sudden the energy shifts. Maybe. There's also a theory of the 80-20 rule. If you don't know what that is, you can Google it. But that basically says that 20% of the population kind of controls what 80% do. And it's not just a power dynamic. It can be used in that scenario as well, but there's other evidence that that might be happening in other areas other than power control dynamic. So whatever, whether it's 20%, whether it's 51%, whether it's 60%, I don't know. I don't care. All I know is that when there's enough people that think a certain way and believe a certain way, then all of a sudden it bubbles up to the surface and leaders pop up and things start, leaders of movements, okay, start bubbling up and things start changing, you know, and then Abraham Lincoln comes along and decides that he's going to do this. Why? Because of Abraham Lincoln? No, because there was enough collective energy pushing society into that direction. And this is what we need to do to straighten out our society. We need to be the change we wish to see in the world. We need to be the people who stop, like, you know, I stopped lying like 19 years ago, right? And I think there was maybe two times in the last 19 years that I lied, and I took it very seriously. I researched and blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up making amends for it and coming clean later, and I'm not going to get into the specifics, but do you know how many people in the last 19 years that has come up in conversation here and there? And people like, oh, you know, either people's looking at me going, yeah, well, we all lie. You know how that is. Or, you know, something like that. Or some other way it comes up in conversation. And I'm just like, no, I don't lie. And they're like, yeah, right. And they start laughing. I'm like, no, I don't. And they're like, no, you don't understand. You know, I just mean white lies. You know, white lies. Everybody white tells white lies. Like, it's fact. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't tell white lies. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, they can't even people can't even comprehend that I haven't lied in 19 years. You know, as a general rule, except for those two that I mentioned. And I don't even know if it was two. One I know very clearly. I think there might have been one other one. but people can't even believe that that's true. They can't even fathom living a life without lying. That's warped, man. That's a problem in society. And then we wonder why we have liars for leaders. That's why. It's because it's acceptable. People think that lying is a necessary part of life. Somebody says, hey, do you want to go to a party next weekend? I'm having people over. You want to come over next weekend? And people go, oh, yeah, definitely. I'll be there. And then they get out and get in the car and they look at their kids or their spouse. And they're like, there's no way we're going. And the kids are like, why did you just say that you were? Well, I didn't want to be rude. Oh, good rationalization. You didn't want to be rude. So you lied to your friend. And this is completely acceptable. You're a liar. You're teaching your children to lie and then rationalizing it away. You know, I've said this many times. If you tell lies, you're a liar. If you stop telling lies, you're not a liar. It's that simple. It's like, so if you've been telling lies, I'm here to burst your bubble. You're a liar. Period. That's what a liar is. A liar is one who lies. If you look in the dictionary, it doesn't say liar, one who lies, unless they have a good rationalization, or unless they think they have a good reason, or unless it prevents somebody from giving them a hard time about a party. There are no buts in the definition of a liar. If you tell lies, you are a liar. Very simple. You know, I went to court to get custody of my son, and I was being lied about. You know how easy it would have been for me to lie? Do you know how much I wanted to? But I didn't. Because I'm not a liar, and I wasn't going to turn into something I wasn't because, or something I don't like. I don't like lying. I like honesty. So I'm not going to become a liar to try to achieve something that I want to achieve. See, this is how we rationalize things. We go, no, the ends justify the means. Well, Glenn, you're going to court. You know, the most important thing in your life to get custody of your son, you should have lied because, you know, getting custody of your son is that important. It's like, no, I think that I should be able to get custody of my son without lying. And I did. So it wasn't necessary. And my son knows that I don't lie, even to this day, which is pretty freaking cool. So, you know, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I mean, I'm not perfect. This is one thing I take very seriously, and I do a damn good job at it. But there are other things that I don't do perfectly. And again, we got to lower the defenses and just see where this stuff is true in your life. Please just try to see where this is true, because you will grow from it. And that's the point of this podcast, not to make anybody feel bad. I get that it probably stings if some of this stuff that I say resonates with you and you go, oh my God, that's what I want to happen. I want you to go, oh my God. And I want, I'm sorry that it hurts, but that hurt is exactly, don't run from that hurt. Don't close off from that hurt. Open through that hurt. And then you can change. And you can have better relationships, and you can love yourself more, because that's the other thing. It's like, we don't love ourselves. Everybody I know has self-esteem issues. Why? Because we are liars, for one. We disrespect ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We know that on an unconscious level. We know we're liars. Maybe it's not up here because we're rationalizing it away, but unconsciously, we know that we lie. That's why we have poor self-esteem. When we say we're going to the gym and then we don't go to the gym, we know we just disrespected ourselves on an unconscious level. You can't run from that. You disrespected yourself. You lied to yourself. You made a deal that you were going to go to the gym and you backed down on your deal. If you did that with anybody else, hey, I'll meet you at lunch tomorrow. And then you just didn't show up. You wouldn't do that to another person. Why do you do it to yourself? This is why our self-esteem is so low. We walk around behaving unconsciously, not even knowing what we're doing to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. We're disrespecting ourselves. And then we wonder why it's acceptable in society, because we're all doing it to ourselves and to one another. This is why we need to be the change we wish to see in the world. It starts with us. And when enough of us are doing it, one person at a time, don't worry about your neighbor doing it. Don't worry about your sister doing it. Don't worry about your family. Don't worry about your friends. Don't worry about anybody else but yourself. That's all you can control. Just do you. You do you. And somebody else will do them. And eventually, this is, you know, enough people will do it. And if it doesn't, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. So don't worry about it. Just, you'll just be a better person. You'll be happier. You'll have more self-love. So just do it for you. And then if collectively it works like I'm hoping it does, yippee-ki-yay. If it doesn't, at least you like yourself, right? Like, the world isn't changed. The world is like, I love myself. Why? Because I embody some really good qualities in a daily life way. That's why I love myself. So the fact that the world hasn't changed yet, it's not dragging me down. Would I like to see it change? Sure. But if it never does, I'm still going to be fine, because I like me. And I'm the one that I have to walk around inside of every day. So just do it for you. And then magically, collectively, the aspect that you can't control, hopefully that'll happen. So what are some of the other examples? We touched on bullying, lying, you know, corruption. It's all kinds of corruption everywhere. You know, we manipulate to get what we want in certain things, you know, and maybe I don't have the best examples for this in my opinion, but like, people change price tags in stores, cheating on a self-checkout, just little things like this where we cheat and manipulate and we rationalize why we're doing it and why it's not wrong. It's wrong. It's like, you know, we teach our kids, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. And our kids end up lying, cheating, and stealing. Why? It's because they see us doing it. And kids read energy. So like, even if a lot of this stuff is hidden, they can feel the hypocrisy when you're telling them not to do it and you're doing it, because it's in your energy. You can't hide who you are from your children and people close to you, not energetically. One thing that I did see with the corruption, that you can see how it creeps down in the levels. And I imagine I'll end here, but we'll see. I mean, with this example, like there's obvious corruption in politics, right? And in big business, like, you know, the pharmaceutical companies and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's obvious corruption in those areas. And like where I've seen this trickle down is I've seen some stories about it. And I actually have talked with college professors in multiple countries that are, that see this and have confirmed this to be true. Okay. So, and what I'm talking about is like, they do studies, right? A lot of the studies, if you notice, they're from colleges, universities, right? And what they do is they'll study things. Now, a lot of times these college professors have a lot on their plate. They bring in students to do a lot of these studies. The students do the studies. A lot of the students just want the mark, so they don't really give a crap. And the teacher's too busy to do this, to monitor every step of the way. So they'll just be like in writing papers, it's not just studies, scientific studies, as well as writing papers, peer reviewed papers and stuff. So they submit these all to these medical journals and all this stuff. So this is where a lot of our science comes from. And they are, these colleges are paid money to do this. When the, you know, like they have quotas, like there's certain amount of papers that need to be published every year by this department so they can keep getting funding in. Right. So now they have, so when these fund, when the funding comes in, it's like, well, the, you know, hey, this, my student, like, doesn't even have any proper credentials behind their research. They did a crappy job. Well, I don't have time to redo it. This one's due. I got to get another one in 3 months. Like, just submit it. And some of the teachers, a lot of the teachers, that's what they're doing because they don't have time to do anything else. So they just submit these crappy research papers done by students that don't know what the hell they're doing. And it's submitted as like research. And it's basically not, you know, or the funding comes through, you know, and it, like they find something wrong. I just watched a movie about this. That was based on a true story. I didn't research the facts behind it or anything and find out. I don't think all of it was true. I think it was just based on some facts. You know, they do that with most movies now. They take a little fact and then they base a story around it. The story is kind of made up. But the but basically an aspect of this movie was that they found out that there was a problem with this pain medication kind of accidentally, because they said, oh, do 7-day research studies. And they did a 10-day research study because that's what they usually do. And when they did a 10-day, they found in the last 3 days, like all the mice were dying. And they're like, oh my God, like what the heck? And that's why the company told them to do a 7-day, right? Now, I don't know if that all this is true, but the point is they came across this university or college came across some information that the company was lying about this, and they wanted to go public with it. And they're, you know, the university was like, you can't do that. We'll lose our funding. You know, you can't have drug companies funding research and approval and expect them not to control what the research says. It's been proven it happens. Like the number of drugs that have been approved by the FDA that have major problems with them in since they started taking money from the drug companies, because they're like, oh yeah, we take money from the drug companies, but it doesn't affect our research. There's no way it affects our research. It's like, oh, really? Okay, well, how come from the date you started taking money from the drug companies, there has been a dramatic increase in problems with the drugs you're approving as opposed to before you started taking money from them, right? But you're saying there's no correlation. Of course there is. You know, but why? Like, so this is it. See, it trickles upward and it trickles downward as to what's acceptable. And, you know, so now that the, you know, and I'm not telling anybody to go quit their job. My point here is if you don't want it acceptable that drug companies and your governmental agencies are doing this, then you as the university instructor shouldn't be part of it. They just go, oh, well, I can't be part of it because like I'll lose my job. And I get that. Like I said, I'm not saying to go quit your job or lose your job over this. What I'm saying is when you know it's happening and you don't report it, and then you wonder why the world is the way it is, that's why. That's one of the reasons why. I'm not saying that it's your fault. I'm just saying that, and like I said, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm not judging. I'm not saying you should quit your job. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying that, like, if we behaved differently on a lower level, we keep giving our power away. This is my point. We keep giving our power away to the people at the top, and we go, no, they make me do it. They make me do it. No, they don't make you do it. They can't make you do anything. And if we as a society started living with more moral character and more backbone and more structure, and we just, when somebody came to us and said, hey, you need to lie to do your job, we went, huh? No, no, I'm not going to lie to do my job. Then, Noah, there wouldn't be people lying. It has to start with us. Change doesn't start at the top because the people at the top are getting what they want. It has to start at the bottom. It has to start with us. We have to live morally. We have to live with the right attitude, with integrity. We have to look in the mirror and love ourselves for who we are. And when we start living like that, we could live in a country that actually is a representation of that. But we can't live in a country that's a representation of what we don't even embody ourselves, you know? So like I said, I'm not telling you to go quit your university job. I'm just saying, and that's just one little example. I don't know everything, so I don't know how this trickles down, or it's not coming to me at this particular moment. So I'm just trying to give you examples to expand your mind and start understanding the dynamic of why things happen. So we understand the causes of our societal issues. The causes of our societal issues is that we allow dysfunctional behavior. We allow debt. Why is the fact that the United States is going, I don't even know how many trillions of dollars in debt we're going, but we're just going more and more and more. And nobody's freaking out. Like, they're just like, yeah, we're going into debt. Why? It's because most people are in credit card debt. That's why. Most people are in debt. Like either through credit cards, they're in debt to their houses. You know, I didn't even realize the housing debt until I moved over to the Dominican Republic. Very few people have like mortgages on their houses. They build them block by block when they can afford it. Piece of wood by piece of wood while they can afford it, little by little, and live in shacks, but they don't have mortgages. You know, it's just a different culture. But like most people in the United States are in debt, either with their mortgage, their car, their credit cards, or all three, right? And then we wonder why our country is in debt. Well, because it's acceptable. It's just how we live. We live in debt. You know, even the power of money. You know, we work jobs that we hate for money. We live lives that we hate for money. And then we wonder why money rules the world. It's because it rules our world. It rules our lives. If you don't like what you do, take a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years to slowly put a little bit of energy into what you would like to do. In one generation, we could change the entire, if we started doing that, we could change the way people live in one generation. if everybody just started putting a little bit of energy into what they wanted to do and showed their children that by their actions, right now it takes, you know, we're not changing. I mean, we are a little bit, but we're not changing very quickly because, again, you know, how can you expect your children to do what they love when they're watching you do what you hate? Now, is that going to work sometimes? Yeah, sometimes. You know, sometimes they'll see you hating your life and they'll be like, oh my God, I don't want to be like them. And they'll choose something different. Sometimes that happens. But as a general rule, like if we would like societally for that to change, we need to start enjoying what we do. If we enjoy what we do, then we're not working just for the money. We're living happier lives. And then when our government starts to do things just for money, we're like, what? That's unacceptable. But we can't sit there and stand up and get, like, you cannot get accurately and appropriately upset about your government doing things that you are doing. You're doing it. And on an unconscious level, you know it. So you can look at the government and you can point the finger and you can go, they're the bad ones. They're the bad ones. They should change. I can't believe that. But until you start looking in the mirror and realizing that the reason that it's acceptable on a societal scale is because energetically it's acceptable on a grassroots level. Most people are doing it. Most people are in debt. Most people are corrupt. Most people lead their lives driven by money. Most people lie. Most people character assassinate. Most people in our society do those things on a regular basis. And then we wonder why we have these societal problems. That's why. That is the societal issue cause, is because we as a collective do it. When we stop doing it, it will become unacceptable and we will not allow it from people up. And it's not going to, we're not going to have to get some new, strength of, we're just going to be standing there going, I don't live my life like that. I'm not living in a country like that. It's just completely unacceptable. It'll be very matter of fact. We won't even have to get angry about it. We won't have to be like, screw them. We'll just be like, no. Absolutely not. It's like if you have a four-year-old, right, that like doesn't know any better or something, and he's going to push the envelope, and all of a sudden the four-year-old, like you got this nice dinner all made up, right? And the four-year-old walks over, goes and grabs a candy bar, pushes his plate aside and says, yeah, I'm going to have the candy bar instead. You'd probably laugh. No, that's unacceptable. No, you just go take the candy bar. You don't have to get all flipped. Oh my God. What do you think you're doing with the candy bar? No, you just go, no. Sorry, little one. Ain't going to happen. All right. You take the candy bar away and you haven't made his dinner. Right. You don't have to get upset. And in fact, I'm going to close with this. We need to work on that. Getting upset doesn't incite change. You know, hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. Love MLK. Some of the best quotes. So we just need to stand in it. And when we change our lives one person at a time, we're not going to stand for it in our society. And it's just going to be unacceptable. And that's the energy in which we need. That was the energy in Panama when they changed. They just went, no, absolutely not. We're not going to allow it. We're just not. And they just didn't. It's that simple. We don't have to overthrow our government. Nothing like that. We just have to we just have to come up together and go, absolutely not. No. Unacceptable. It's just unacceceptable. No. Oh, so you're the Democratic Party and you're not holding Democratic, what's those things called? The debates because you just want to back Biden without having anybody else run against them. That's unacceptable. You're supposed to be a representation of the people. Mike, do you know how easy it would be to stand up against the powers that be and change things? So easy. you can't govern a population that you can't control. And we're just sitting back thinking everything's acceptable because we do it ourselves. That's the only way to change it. We can't pretend that we don't like, because that's what we're doing now. We're pretending.
I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what they're doing.
That's a lie. Well, no, you don't like what they're doing. That's true. But it's just rationalization, making you, trying to make you feel better, because on an unconscious level, you know you're doing it too. So let's be honest with ourselves, man. Let's shift. All right, I got to close off. All right, thank you, people. Hopefully that helps. Peace. Peace.